Commander Canaver crouched low in the brush, confident that he was too well concealed for any of the nearby monks to locate him. Visually, at least, for the ranger had no experience with magic, other than that of the Tuel Alfar, and did not know the potential of the ringstones. But Anticanaver was sensitive to his environment, extremely so, and he did indeed sense the presence about him, an intangible presence, the feeling that he was being watched. How strong that sensation became when Brother Brahman's spirit moved right up to the ranger, when Brother Brahman's spirit tried to move right into the man. Anticanaver looked all about, eyes darting to every shadow, to every conceivable hiding place. He knew he was not alone, and yet all of his physical senses showed him nothing. Nothing. The intrusion grew stronger. The ranger almost cried out, despite his better judgment. That near outburst surprised him, and led him to the horrifying and inescapable conclusion that some other will was forcing itself over him. The ranger searched inside himself, trying to find something tangible, something identifiable. He recalled the communal elven song. 100 voices joined as one, 100 spirits blended in harmony. But this was rape. The ranger fell low to the ground, fighting back in the only manner he understood. He put up a wall of sheer rage, a red barrier, denying all action. Anticanaver was completely in control of his will on every level. He used the discipline of Benel Desada, the sword dance, used in his years of training in Kaer Alfar. And through that grim determination, that sheer strength of will, the ranger identified his spiritual enemy, located the intruding will. A picture formed in Anticanaver's mind, a map of his own thought process, and he mentally placed an enemy marker whenever a trail on that map was accessed. The enemy, the will of Brother Brahman, soon showed clear to the man. And then suddenly, he and the monk were on equal footing, an open battle of wills, with the advantage of surprise no more. Brother Brahman, disciplined and trained in the stones, fought well, but the ranger was the stronger by far, and the monk was soon expelled, and soon in retreat. Anticanaver was truly frightened by this strange experience, this unknown magic. But with his typical courage, he would not let the opportunity pass. He felt a channel, a pathway left by the departing spirit, and he sent his thoughts along it, soaring free of his body. Soon he was in the monk encampment, and then in one of the wagons. There sat the source of the intrusion, a man, a monk of about 30 winters, sitting cross-legged, deep in meditation. Without hesitation, Anticanaver continued along the mental pathway, following the spirit right back into the monk's body, resuming the battle. Now the battleground was more difficult, a terrain far more familiar to his enemies, but the ranger pressed on, focused his will. Only one thought slowed him, and that only temporarily. If he dominated this body, would it leave his own open to intrusion? The ranger had no way of knowing, and the hesitation almost ended his fight. But then, using the same determination that had sustained him through all these years and all these trials of the unforgiving land of Alpinador, Anticanaver pressed on tenfold, driving hard into the monk's mind, pushing the monk away wherever he found him, pushing, stealing every pathway, every corner, every hope, and every fear. It was not a good feeling, was too strange and too out of place, and for the noble ranger, was simply wrong. Despite any rationalization that he had been protecting his very soul, or any that reminded him of his duty to his fellow Alpinadorans, Anticanaver could not rid himself completely of the guilt. Possessing another's body, whatever the reasons, assaulted the ranger's sense of right and wrong profoundly. But he persevered, and took some comfort in the small and smooth gray stone he held in his unfamiliar hand. This stone was the conduit, Anticanaver recognized, the pathway between the spirits, and with it in his possession, both physical and spiritual, he felt confident that the portal to his own corporeal body was closed to any others. Acclimating himself to the new coil, he dragged himself to the back of the wagon, peering out into the encampment, listening carefully to any passing conversations. He remained there for some time, and truly the ranger was glad that the elves had bothered to teach him the language of Hans the Bear. Then, gaining confidence, he dared to exit the wagon, walking openly in the midst of the foreigners.